Okay, welcome everybody. Today is Wednesday, February 10th, and we are gathered for our weekly lunch and learn, which is now done virtually. So you could bring your own lunch, although I do see someone is making everybody snacks. Who's baking? I see someone was baking before, so I hope you share. Okay. Today's Shiur is sponsored by Max and Susan Reichenthal and family in memory of Susan's father and Max's father, Sidney Reichenthal and Lenny Friedman. So thank you very much to the Reichenthal family for sponsoring. And it is also sponsored today by Lewis and Sheila Train in memory of their daughter, Carolyn Shoshana Fradel, Bat Eliezer, whose first yahrzeit is today. And so we see that the trains are with us, and it's nice to have you. And I know this is a difficult day for you, of course, and we're happy that you're spending part of it with us. And we hope that by doing so, you're finding some comfort in the presence and embrace of your community, who love you so much and are so sad for you on the loss of your daughter, and wish to comfort you in any way that we can. So welcome and thank you. Thank you for sponsoring. I know that Sheila, if you're trying to say something, you're muted. Okay, so we are going to get started. I'm going to share the screen with the texts that we're going to be using, and then we're going to jump right in. Great, great topic today. I always think the topics are great, but this is a particularly great topic. So let's get started. Just got to share my screen. Okay, so this week is Parshat Mishpatim, and it is chock full of mitzvot, this week's Parsha. And this week, we are going to talk about the prohibition of oppressing the convert, ona'at hager. There are actually two types of oppression of the convert that are talked about in the Torah. One is monetary oppression, and the other is verbal oppression. We are going to focus mostly today on the prohibition of verbally oppressing a convert. We're going to define what that means, what verbal oppression of a convert means, and we're going to understand why that is. When I sent out the email to the class, to the list of folks who participate in the class, I think I wrote something like this for the title. All Jews are created equal, or all people are equal, or are they? And really what's going to emerge from our discussion today is that converts and others are actually given additional protections in the Torah, and in significant ways considered to be special and then special and different in a positive way than people who are born Jewish. And we're going to see that. So let's start. And again, just one more reminder, if you want to ask a question, please feel free to use the chat or to use the raise hand function in the Zoom. Okay, so here we go. We have three verses we're going to look at, and I'm going to ask you a question. So in this week's Parsha, we have the verse, which you see here, Shemot Chaf Bet Chaf, Shemot chapter 22, verse 20, V'ger lo toneh, v'lo tilachatzenu, ki gerim heyitem be'eretz Mitzrayim. You shall not wrong an alien. We're gonna actually change this translation here to convert. You shall not oppress him, for you were converts, we'll say here as well, in the land of Egypt. That's the pasuk from this week's Parsha. Then we have another pasuk in Vayikra, V'chi agori t'cha ger ba'artzechem lo tonu oto. If a stranger, and again I'm going to translate that to convert, lives as a foreigner with you in your land, you shall not do him wrong. Okay, so those are both talking about converts. And there, it's not only converts, to a lot of different categories of people fall under this general umbrella of convert. But we are just, for the sake of this discussion, we're going to talk about converts in the technical sense, okay? And so then we have a pasuk also in Vayikra, V'lo tonu ish et amito, V'yareta melokecha, ki ani Hashem elokechem. You shall not wrong, and we're going to, wrong here is oppress, right? The word we're using is not just wrong, we're using the word oppress. So I have a question. I have two questions, actually. Why do I need two psukim to tell me not to oppress the convert? Right? One right here in Shemot 22, telling me not to oppress the convert. And one right here in Vayikra, in Leviticus 19, also telling me not to oppress the convert. That's one question. And I have another question. If I already have a verse also in Vayikra, but this time Vayikra 25, that tells me not to oppress people, why do I need a separate pasuk, in this case two psukim, telling me not to oppress the convert? Right? I could do away with these two verses and just be left with this one in Vayikra Chafhe, in Leviticus 25, telling me don't oppress anybody. And I would know I shouldn't oppress a convert. I shouldn't oppress men. I shouldn't oppress women. I shouldn't oppress anybody. So two questions. Why do I need two verses telling me not to oppress the convert? And why do I need any verses at all? Even if, let me ask the questions in reverse. Why do I need a verse specifically telling me to not oppress a convert if I'm told not to oppress anybody? And even if I could answer that question, why do I need two verses telling me not to oppress the convert? Okay, those are the questions. Anyone want to suggest an answer to those questions? Okay, Zach, please unmute yourself.
For the study of Torah, we learn that when Torah is trying to fight with human nature by bringing the law, it's always repeated itself. For instance, Shabbat, law for Shabbat. How many times in the Torah we have repetition that enforcing it? Similar thing over here. Because human nature has so-called complex of superiority. And we could see it through whole history, Jewish history. We remember how Jewish immigrants from Germany were treated by Sephardic community in America. We have seen how Jewish immigrants to America from Eastern Europe were unwelcome by their brothers from Germany, and we see it time after time.
Oh, that's great. Okay, that's a great great insight. We're going to get to that in a little while. So Zach's suggestion is that actually answers both questions. We have a tendency to want to take advantage of people, and so we need extra protection for some people, and that is why we have a specific verse of protection for the ger, for the convert, which also explains maybe why we have two for the convert, because we need to stress how important that is. Okay, is that you, Bobby Sue? Is that you who want to ask a question?
Yeah, no, I just giving another comment, and maybe it's because we just came out of Egypt and we were being oppressed for however many years. So we don't know to do the right thing, whether it's for a convert or anybody else. And
that then, of is course, great.
And then, right, of course, so, saying it a second time is just to emphasize it.
Right. So let me share with you something at the end, which I have a little bit later, which is really matches up to what Zach and Bobby Sue said.
Rabbi.
Which is, there's this phrase going around these days, hurt people, hurt people. I don't know if you've heard that before. Hurt people, hurt people. And I think maybe the Torah is protecting against that. Meaning we, God is talking to the Jews, you were enslaved. You were held as an underprivileged class because you were strangers, you were different. And now you are going to be, you are going to encounter another group of people who you, because you are hurt, may feel that you are able to hurt them. Hurt people, hurt people. And so God is telling us, remember, you were hurt in Egypt. Don't use that as an excuse or as a reason to hurt someone else. And it could be that that is what the Meshech Chachma is saying, where he says as follows, Ki gerim hayitem beretz Mitzrayim, where is it? No, I thought he said it, but maybe not. But I think that could be along the lines of what is going on here. That's excellent. Okay, let's keep going. We're going to read the Sefer Achinuch, which is, we've been talking about that. The Sefer Achinuch is the text that we use to study the mitzvah of the week, and we're going to go through and make some comments on the way. So here we go. Sefer Achinuch, Mitzvah Samach Gimel, number 63. Shelo lahanot hager bidvarim, not to oppress the convert with words. Shenimnu mila honot hager afilu bidvarim. V'echad min ha'umot shenitgayer v'nechnas bedatenu. That we have been prohibited from oppressing converts with words. And this is one from the other nations who converted and enter our religion. Shasur lo livzoto afilu bidvarim. That one is not allowed to oppress them even with words. We have to understand also what that means. We're going to get an example of that soon. Meaning, what does verbal oppression look like vis-a-vis a convert? And then the Sefer Achinuch, of course, quotes our pasuk, Shene'emar, v'ger lo tonet. You must not oppress the convert. V'af al pi she'anu mazhirim b'zeh b'Yisrael. Like I said before, even though we have a general prohibition against verbally oppressing anybody, v'zeh kevan she'nichnas b'datenu harehu k'Yisrael. And once they've converted, they're like every other Jew. So again, why do I need the extra verse? Hosif pakatuv lanu azharabo. The Torah gives us an additional verse. V'gam nichbila ha'azara. Not only do we have a special verse for the convert, it's repeated. Dichtiv in Vayikra, the pasuk that I showed you, lo tonu, pamacheret. So we have two verses for the convert. Why? Why? This is actually along the lines of what Bobby Sue said and what Zach said. Why? There's a better chance that a Jew is going to oppress a convert, a person who's born Jewish is going to oppress a Jewish convert, more so than they would oppress a born Jew. Ki ha-Yisrael yesh lo go'alim she'tovim el bono. When you insult or hurt someone in your community, other community members will come to their defense. They have long-term friendships. They may have relatives. They have relatives in the community. Lots of people know them. You can't talk to that person like that. But when it comes to a convert, they're new. They don't have family that's part of the community. They don't necessarily have long-term friendships in the community. And so they don't have someone who's going to, in the words of the Sefer Achinuch, they don't have goalim, redeemers, people who will come to their rescue. And so we have to be extra careful because there's a greater chance that they are going to be hurt by our actions because they don't have anyone to defend them. That's one answer. Ve'od tamachirbo. And there's another reason why the Torah is especially careful about this. She'yesh bo chashash shelo yachzor l'soro. Mikas habizyonot. This is so amazing. We are afraid that if a convert is oppressed, they're going to say, what do I need this for? What did I go jump through hoops and change my whole life and turn my whole world upside down to become Jewish if this is the way I'm going to be treated? And they'll maybe leave and revert back And the problem with that is once you're a convert, you're always a convert. So now if a convert reverts back to their previous religion and lifestyle, that's a big problem because that's considered to be sinful behavior. So the way that we treat a convert may define whether or not they want to stay Jewish and whether or not actually they even do stay Jewish. So two reasons why the Torah tells us, aside from the prohibition of not oppressing anybody, an additional two prohibitions about not oppressing a convert. One, because it's easy to oppress a convert. They're an easy target. Hurt people, hurt people. And we're going to look for those who are the low-hanging fruit, who are not going to be defended. And so we have to be careful about that. We have to work on ourselves not to do that. And the second reason is because we may actually lead them to reject the Torah. And here I want to show you an amazing, amazing midrash. This is a mind-blowing midrash. This midrash is mentioned in the Torah Shalema, which is a massive work of a collection of midrashim by Rabbi Menachem Mendel Kasher, who before there were databases, right, combed through the midrashim and collected them into this amazing work. He mentioned, listen to this midrash, V'ger lo toneh. The pasuk right before the prohibition of oppressing a convert is the prohibition against idolatry. And so the midrash is asking, what does one have to do with the other? Why is there a midrash? Why does the pasuk of idolatry immediately followed by the prohibition against oppressing the ger? And listen to this midrash. Mipnei man nismach parshat hager la'avodah zarah. Why is the pasuk against oppressing a ger juxtaposed to the prohibition of avodah zarah? Lilamdecha, to teach us. Shekol ha-ma'aneh liger ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. Anyone who oppresses a convert, it's as if they are worshiping idols. They're guilty of idolatry. Now, how does that work? And it's not a nice thing. It's a terrible thing to oppress a convert. But to compare it to idolatry, which is likely the Torah's worst sin, how could it possibly liken the two? Well, the Midrash explains very, very powerfully. She'im yomar lo kama basar chazir b'binecha. You go to a convert, you say, hey, how much pork is left in your belly? How many times did you kiss your idols? Vahager she'or shelo ra v'shema yachzor la'avodah zarah shelo. This person doesn't have a strong support system, and they may now revert back to idolatry. V'nimtza ata hagoreim. So what this amounts to is that the one who insulted the convert is the cause of the convert going back to idolatry. Uke'ilu ata avadata avodah zarah. And so the midrash tacks it on. It's as if you did it because you caused it directly. That's why the portion of not oppressing the ger is juxtaposed to the prohibition of insulting the convert. So that's very much like what the Sefer Achinuch said. So that's point number one. We have additional psukim and special psukim because we have to protect the ger because they have no one else to protect them, and we also have to protect them because they're sensitive, rightfully so, and we don't want what we do to cause them to leave what they worked so hard to attain. Okay, now what is the definition of ona'at tager? What is the definition of verbally oppressing a convert? Well, we saw two examples in the Midrash. How much non-kosher food do you still have in your belly, right? Or how many times did you kiss an avodah zarah? And here, the Sefer Achinuch says, Shelo tomar lo emes hayita oved avodah zarah v'achshav nichnasna tachat kanfei hashchina. Yesterday you were an idolater, and now you entered under the wings of the divine presence. So extreme sensitivity is called for in this case. Okay, we're going to stop here. I know that Nitza wanted to make a comment or ask a question. So go ahead, Nitza.
I think it's a beautiful, beautiful minhag or whatever, mitzvah. And that applies to our life as well, to nowadays. If you don't want to look upon other people who think different than you are as a second class, or you can't say what you want because we don't think the same as you are, you want to embrace everybody. That is the embracement causing a union of all people together. I think it's just beautiful, and it works today as it works in the past, because people tend to think that whatever they have is better. Let me rule you because I think it's better.
Right. So it's very good. I think you're right.
Embrace everybody who would like to join us.
Absolutely. I agree. And it applies.
Yeah, but that's the problem. If we stop learning Torah or the mitzvot, if we stop learning, like it happens in schools, you don't learn the Bible, you don't learn. If you stop doing it, including in Israel, you get out of your values.
Right. Very good. Excellent. So this is a mitzvah that talks about values in general, 100%. In fact, I'll get to you in a second, Obeth, just one second. If you look at the next section, it really, really talks about character development. Because in the next section, the Sefer HaChinuch wants to understand the roots, the purpose of this mitzvah. Now, we already saw in the previous paragraph some of that. Again, we want to make sure that we don't take advantage of people who don't have protectors, and we don't want to chase people away. But listen to what the Sefer HaChinuch says here. This is amazing. Mishar Shei HaMitzvah, Milvad Ma Shekatavnu. Again, besides what we wrote, which we just reviewed. Kedei Lakof Et Yitzreinu Le'olam Lebal Na'aseh Kol Asher Nimtza B'Kochenu La'asot L'Ra'ad. This is amazing. This mitzvah trains us against our negative inclination not to do whatever evil we have the ability to do. There are lots of people we could take advantage of, as Nitza suggested. There are lots of bad things that we can do, but we have to train ourselves not to do it. It's easy to take advantage of a convert. It's easy to take advantage of someone who's new because they don't have protectors. They don't know the system. And we have to, and it's our inclination is to do that. This is, again, the hurt people scenario. And so this mitzvah is telling us we have to really be careful. We have to check ourselves. It's such a beautiful idea in terms of interpersonal relationships. Al Kain, Hizirtanu Bazeh Ha'ish Shehu Beinenu Beli Ozer. Therefore, we are warned regarding this person who is among us without helper, without a support system. V'somech v'yesh koach, b'li ozer v'somech, without someone to help them or to support them. V'yesh koach b'yad, v'yesh koach b'yad kol echad v'echad mimenu, imo havav alav, l'bal na'avir alav et haderech klal. We are warned regarding this, and over whom each and every one of us with his friends can exert some power, that we not exclude him from the general sensitivity that we show everyone among us. Afilu bidrim ka'elu hu ke'achad mimenu. They have to be like one of us. Umitoch gidarim ka'elu nikne nefesh yikara. Listen to this. And through boundaries such as these, we will acquire a soul of higher worth. This is good for us too, when we learn to act in this way. Umisalselet ume'ateret hamidot. We will acquire a soul of higher worth, raised up and crowned with positive characteristics, haru'uya l'kabalat ha-tov, worthy of receiving good, presumably from God, but not only from God. This goes back to something I've been teaching over the last few days. The good that we receive from acting this way may be divine reward, but it also is definitely the society that we build. If we build a society like this, then we enjoy our life in society more, right? We all enjoy life in society when people aren't taking advantage of us. And the way we make sure that no one takes advantage of us is to make sure that a society doesn't allow anyone to take advantage of anyone, even the weakest among us. So the Kabbalat HaTov is the society that we build. And this will fulfill in ourselves the desire of God, may he be blessed. Okay? And that's true. My mother-in-law says that's why the widow and the orphan are also in a similar class, right? They're also many, many times in the Torah, dozens of times mentioned that we have to protect. Andrea, are there restrictions on some aliyot of a convert? The only thing is that a convert is not a Kohen or a Levi. A convert is a Yisrael, but I'm also not a Kohen or
I thought there were other things that the convert were not allowed to do.
So there are. There definitely are some areas in halacha, but here we're talking about, and that is true, and that is true across the board in Judaism between men and women, Kohen, Levi, Yisrael. There are definitely, you know, different groups. But here we're talking about verbal oppression, and we're not allowed to do it. We're not allowed to say, oh, you're a convert. That means you can't do this and this. Oh, you're a convert. You can't be a Kohen, right? We're not allowed to do that. Even though those rules are there, we're not allowed to use those rules as a way to verbally bludgeon a convert. Okay, go ahead, Obeth, you're up.
In this case, the word convert, is it only referring to an Orthodox convert or a conservative convert? Is it the same? Is it a difference?
I don't want to get into the halachic distinctions between, Orthodox conversions, non-Orthodox conversions, meaning in the context of the life that you live, right, in the context of who you are, a convert in your community has this protected status. Okay. Now we move on. I don't see any other questions. I don't see any.
I have one, Reb. I have something to say.
Please.
I have a friend that lives in Houston for many, many, many years. Like I know her for 30, 40 years. And she was Christian and she converted to Judaism. She's married to a Jew. And she's an art teacher. She's an excellent lady and from all angles. And she told me one day, for the Jews, I am a convert. For the Christian, she said it in Bishvil Ayudim Ani Notzriya. Bishvil Anotzriya Ani Yudia.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I'm not here and I'm not there. Like she finds herself really Jewish, not really Christian. And it's very confusing situation and it's very delicate.
It's terrible.
That's wonderful. And she does the mitzvot and she keeps kosher and
That is terrible, terrible story.
Situation, Ken.
Terrible.
Because it's not here and not there. It's somewhere
Kluya. We have an obligation. We have to, now we see why. You see, this is a thank you, Chana. Now we have a real story. It's terrible. And we see it. I see it often. And we have to, this is a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah d'oraita. This is like any other mitzvah in the Torah, like Shabbat and Kashrut. And we have to be really, really careful. Not only, I think we have to be more careful, especially careful when it comes to converts. As we see, we have extra psukim in the Torah. Okay, let's see. What are some of the laws here? Dini ha-mitzvah, kagon rova sarot zaharinu. Zichronam levracha alav, the prohibitions that we saw already. V'hodi'anu lazirenu od b'davar shebe'esrim ve'echad. The Sefer HaChinuch notes, and there is a Gemara, which I have, but we don't have to see it inside because we're seeing it here, that there are 24 times in the Torah where we are told not to oppress the convert. And others say it's 36 times, right? B'davar shebe'esrim ve'echad mikomot hisira ha-Torah alav. 24 times, 21 times. V'katfu gam kein l'chizuk ha-mitzvah sheba'oto la'shon s'nitzavinu be'avat ha-makom. This is really amazing. Let me show you a Rambam, and then I'll go back to the Sefer HaChinuch. The Rambam writes as follows. The Rambam writes as follows. Here it is. Ahavat ager shebav nichnas tacha kanfei ashchina shtei mitzvot aseh. Achat b'fnei shehu b'chlal re'im v'achat b'fnei shehu ger. Remember, I said before, you're not allowed to oppress a Jew. And on top of that, there's a prohibition that you're not allowed to oppress a convert. So if you oppress a convert, you have violated three prohibitions. The one against oppressing a Jew and the two against oppressing a convert. There's a mitzvah to love a ger, to love a convert. So when you love a convert, you fulfill two mitzvot. The mitzvah of loving a convert and the mitzvah of loving a Jew. V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, right? So we have two mitzvot in terms of loving a convert. That's what the Rambam says. To love the proselyte who came and embraced the protection beneath the wings of the Shekhinah rests upon two mandatory commandments. One because he is included in the commandment concerning the neighbor, v'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, and the other because he is a stranger and the Torah charged us, love therefore the stranger, meaning the convert. And who else did God tell us to love? He commanded on the love for the stranger as he commanded concerning the love for himself. Amazing. The convert is singled out to be compared to God. We have a pasuk that we're supposed to love God, v'ahavta et Hashem Elokecha, and a separate pasuk that says v'ahavta et hager. That's what the, now we can go back to the Sefer HaChinuch, and he says here, shenitztavinu bi'ahavat ha'makom, v'katfu gam kein l'chizuk ha'mitzvah she'boto lashon, shenitztavinu bi'ahavat ha'makom. The Torah uses similar language regarding the mitzvah to love a convert as it does for the mitzvah to love God, to strengthen it, to realize, wow, this must be special. V'harbei divarim ka'elu b'midrashim u'b'ketzat mikomot b'gemara, many things in the midrash, like I just showed you the one comparing it to Avodah Zarah, and in the Gemara. This applies all the time, as Nitza pointed out, in every place, right? This mitzvah, no different if you're a man or a woman, in Israel, not in Israel. And one who violates this prohibition and disgraces a convert, avar alav, has violated a negative prohibition in the Torah. Okay? So this notion of the comparison to God, again, heightens the importance of this mitzvah. Okay, I have a few odds and ends that I want to share with you related to this mitzvah, but I want to stop here and see if there are any comments or questions. So let's see. If it's unknown, are we allowed to tell people the person's a convert? Are there special laws concerning marrying a convert? There are some special laws about who can marry a convert. And generally, yes, we should not be sharing with someone that someone's a convert unless you have explicit permission from them to do so. Not, God forbid, that there's anything to be embarrassed about. In fact, we'll see, on many levels, their status is special because converts have chosen to be Jewish, right? Others are born into it and have no choice in the matter. But someone who's made a choice in the matter occupies maybe a higher level than a born Jew on that score. So it's wonderful, but it may not be something that someone wants to share. So we should be careful about that. What does it mean to love a convert? Well, I think the same thing it probably means to love God and to love people, which is we have to think about their incredible character traits that brought them to do this, right? When we talk about loving God, we say it means we have to talk about God. We have to say, look at this amazing world that God made. Look at this amazing Torah that God gave us. That's what it means to love God. And the Rambam says it's like you're lovesick. You just can't stop thinking about God. So I guess the language is similar, and therefore we have to, in our minds, get ourselves accustomed to the idea, to think of this idea about the very, very high level of spirituality that a convert occupies. It may not lead to any specific behaviors, but the specific behaviors are things we're not allowed to do. We're not allowed to oppress a convert. We're not allowed to verbally oppress. We're not allowed to monetarily oppress a convert. And maybe under, I would say, Doreen, under the obligation of loving a convert is a convert has to be treated like everybody else. A convert goes to court, a Beit Din, they have to be treated like everybody else. In the community, like everyone else, right? They're not allowed to be treated differently than anybody else. So that likely falls under specific things that we are supposed to do for a convert. Okay, I saw a couple of hands up. We'll start with my mother, and then I think Nitza had a hand up. I'm not sure who else. Okay, go ahead.
Unmute. Well, all I wanted to say was it just comes down to treating the convert like you would treat anybody else.
Correct.
You're not going to say about somebody's Jewish, oh, he's Jewish, but he's really not religious. So you're not going to say that about a convert or anybody. You're just going to treat everybody the same way.
Yes. Amen to that. Yes. Okay.
Okay. I want to say something.
1 second, Nitza. You had something you wanted to say?
Baba already said it.
Okay.
That we are all equal.
Excellent.
Don't have to point out somebody, he's Israel, he's not a convert anymore, he's a Jew.
Excellent. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Chana? And Zach is next. Chana, unmute yourself, please.
Okay. There is this pidgam, this saying that says, במקום שבעלי תשובה עומדים, אין צדיקים גדולים, אין צדיקים גמורים עומדים, right?
גדולים לעמוד, כן.
כן. So, על אחת כמה וכמה, even more so, במקום שגרים הופכים להיות יהודים, this is much harder than Jew becomes בעל תשובה, because he was born Jew. A girl yes. was not born Jew, and he has to go through all
Perfect.
This. כל כך הרבה, זה כל כך קשה, it's so hard, and such a מעמד, such an effort, and
yes.
it has to come from the inside, from אהבת real יהדות and ישראל, so it's, we have to think how, כמה הוא צריך לעבור, then we, of course, we need to give him all the honor.
Yes, excellent. You know? Let me, Zach, before you make your comment, I want to respond to Chana's comment, but you're next. I want to respond to it, first of all, by reading a Meshech Chachma, and then by mentioning something else. So the Meshech Chachma is Rabbi Meir Simcha of Divinsk. You see his picture there that popped up on your screen? Okay. He wrote a commentary on the Chumash, and he says some really interesting things about this. First of all, he says, along the lines that a lot of him saying, and that Chana just said, Ki baze yugdal ma'alato. A convert has a greater level. Asher hikir habore l'davka b'torato uva'amo. The person chose to recognize God and to attach themselves to God and to God's people. Vitzur machatzavtenu, yachas amunatenu. And listen to this, he says. This is amazing. The rock that we came from, Avraham, nolad b'may nachriya. We're all converts, or at least we're all the descendants of converts. Avraham wasn't born from a Jew. Avraham was born from a Gentile mother. Ad ki hikir et boro, and then he became Jewish. But how dare we look at a convert and say, "Oh well, you came from what? We all came from the same place." Lo tonesha lo tiskerenu ma'asav harishonim klal sheyuchal omar l'cha. And then he backs it up and says, ki gerim hayitem emretz Yisrael. You were, here in this case, he means converts. You also came out of Egypt. Halalu ovdei avodah zarah v'halalu ovdei avodah zarah. On one level, there was no difference between us and the Egyptians. They were idolaters in Egypt, and we were idolaters in Egypt. God took one nation, not a Jewish nation, out of another nation, and then made us Jewish. We worshipped idols in Egypt before our conversion. So what are we doing? right? Saying that you were this and that. We all came from the same place. Either whether you want to look at it as Avraham or Mitzrayim, we're all Gerim. Okay, Zach.
But I try to say that I felt through my experience to become a traditional Jew, absolutely the same rejection what you just taught in your class. And I cannot add more than what Nita said. What a beautiful, beautiful teaching we got today. I have seen on my own experience how another Jews from Russia were pushed away because people, especially in Orthodox circle, look down upon them. You from Russia, what type of Jew you are? They ask those questions with a certain grin on their face. I was lucky. I was actually very much determined to do it. But through all my years of teaching and my journey already exists for about 35 or so years, I always was surprised that in Orthodox circle, rabbis teach more about kashrut than about this not less important features. It's actually hurt me. Some fundamental human quality were abandoned from rabbinical teaching, from very rudimental say hello till what you just talk about it. This is the most important thing. Okay, sorry.
Thank you.
I made my peace.
Thank you. First of all, thank you for sharing your personal story. That is very moving and distressing. And I'll just say, as the spokesman for all of the Jewish people, I am very happy that you stuck with it and didn't give up despite being discouraged. And this is an excellent time for me to remind everyone of what I often say. Do not confuse what Jews do with Judaism. Right? Right? What Zach experienced was not Judaism. Right? Thank you, Zach. Okay, Shula. Please unmute yourself, Shula. Bell Harbor is taking over today. Bell Harbor is taking over. We have three former Bell Harborians on the call today. We have to remember also, in the Torah context, it means what it means, right? In the modern context, it means misleading. But in the Torah context, based on the way it's understood by Chazal and all the Mefarshim, it's referring to a type of oppression. And part of that, by the way, I will tell you, is misleading. For example, there's a general prohibition about ona'at divarim. This is in the Minchas Chinuch, much later when we get there, in Mitzvah Shin Lamid Chet, Shelo lehonot echad mi Yisrael bidvarim. So for example, one is not allowed, I'll give you an example of ona'at divarim. One is not allowed to give someone wrong directions on purpose, right? One is not allowed to do anything that's misleading to someone because that would be a violation of ona'at divarim. So it definitely includes misleading, but it's not only that. Okay, Nitza.
Last thing I want to say here, look how nice is the Torah, it's the Tanakh, that we have a whole book of Megillat Ruth that is for the girl. We are talking about Ruth HaMoaviah. They call her Ruth HaMoaviah, and there is something there that they said, why do you call her Ruth HaMoaviah? She's part of Israel now.
And right, and David HaMelech and the Mashiach come from her. Exactly.
Right. So
yes.
Don't forget it.
That's a good thing. Okay, let's look at one or two more things, and we're going to wrap it up here. So there's an interesting question. Now we're getting a little technical. There's an interesting question about how many generations does this prohibition exist? Meaning, am I not allowed to oppress the convert. Meaning if I press the convert, not only am I violating the mitzvah against oppressing a Jew, I'm violating an additional two mitzvot against oppressing converts. But what about the convert's child or the convert's grandchild or great-grandchild? I'm not allowed to oppress them because they're Jewish. But if I do, am I violating just one prohibition against oppressing a Jew, or three prohibitions because now I'm tacking on the other two prohibitions against oppressing a convert? So it may depend on the reason, right? We said the Sefer HaChinuch gave us two reasons. One is they don't have allies. So it could be that also the convert's child and grandchild, even though it's been a generation or two, still feels that they don't have, or may literally just not have, that stronghold in the community and don't have go'alim, as we said, right? Don't have people who are going to really step up for them. But if the reason for not, if the reason for prohibiting this for this violation is because we have to give them special respect because they chose to be Jewish, then that would likely only apply to the actual convert and not the convert's kid. Again, this is very, very technical, but an interesting question that some of the commentaries talk to. If you read some of the Talmudic statements on this, it sounds like it's supposed to go to all generations. For example, we have this statement in the Gemara. Amar Rav, I'll read a different one. The Mishnah says, "Kishem she'ona'a b'mekach u'b'memkar kach ona'a b'dvarim." Right, exploitation. Maybe that's a good word. Just as there's a monetary exploitation, there's also verbal exploitation. Lo yomar lo. This is interesting. Kama chafet zevu eino rotzel likach. This is a really great halacha in the digital age. I want to buy a computer, so I go to Best Buy. And I ask someone to help me. And I say, I'm looking to buy a computer. And I have no intention of buying it at Best Buy. I'm going to buy it on Amazon. But I give the guy the impression I'm going to buy it in Best Buy because I want his attention. That may be ona'at divarim. That may be verbal oppression. It also may be lying, but it may be verbal oppression. I've misled this person. I've actually exploited them because they likely should be spending their time with a paying customer, right? Anyway, so, right, don't tell someone how much you're selling this for when you do not wish to purchase it. And here we go. If one is a Baal Tshuva or convert, if one is the child of converts, another may not remember the deeds of your ancestors. So it seems like it even goes back to the child of convert into many generations. Okay, Mom, yeah. Go ahead.
But why would you, but once it's a child of a convert, aren't they considered Jewish like anybody else? Why would you put that label on them? They're not the converts anymore. It's their father or their grandfather converted.
Exactly. That's why the Talmud is telling us not to do that. The Talmud is telling us don't do that. Right? You're muted now. The Talmud is telling us don't do that. Don't treat converts differently, even the child of a convert, or because we may have this, again, they're low-hanging fruit. We may have the tendency to do that. And so therefore, we are told that we have to be very careful not to do that. That's why we're specifically being told that we should not do that. Okay. Thank you so much, everybody. Zach, can you hear me? Yeah, okay. Because it's unclear on my screen. Okay, thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.
And happy to see everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
You too. Thank you.
Well,
what is the plan for Purim?
Chodesh Tov.
We've sent out a few emails with the plan for Purim. It's also on the website. It's a lot. You have to go check it out. We're having a number of outdoor readings for people. At night, we're doing it at Barron Academy because there's a lot more room there. And on Friday, we're doing it We're doing it at UOS.